Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, Grateful for Something New, a New Heart.
Tell somebody, yes, he will. See the mothers rocking on that. Now, Lord, let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. It is in your name we pray and give thanks. And those who love the Lord, help me say amen. Amen. Clap your hands for the third Sunday choir. Listen, we should never forget those songs. I don't care how modern the church is. We should never forget the songs that brought us over. I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Amen. Give God a hand for our worship and arts ministry. This new year, this first month of the new year, God says there are seven things that we have identified that we are grateful for that is new. The last 2 weeks, we dealt with a new day. Last Sunday, we dealt with a new life. Today is the third one, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, one verse, one chapter, one book that's recorded in the Bible, the New Living Translation. And the text reads, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you." Some of you need it. Some of us need it. Amen. Some of us need it. "I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." And those who love God's word, help me say amen. Amen. And the series is Grateful for Something New. Three words. Look at someone and say, "A new heart." Now clap those hands as you take your seat. A new heart. On this Martin Luther King celebration day weekend that we celebrate Dr. King this whole weekend, a very special thank you to all men for a powerful prayer breakfast on yesterday. I was so impressed to see a building room full of men, packed to capacity. Young men. I think the youngest boy was 4 years old. We recognized Deacon Melton as the oldest man there. He was 84 years old, is 84. And he told us he looks 34, but he's 84 years old. And we thank God so much for all the men that were in the building. But I was reminded, thank you to Elder Tony G, our very own, for emceeing and the minister said, but I was reminded as I went home from the prayer breakfast, one of the iconic quotes of Dr. King is this. He's quoted as saying, "Love is the greatest force in the universe." And here's the part that fits our message today. It is the heartbeat of the moral cosmos. The heartbeat of the moral cosmos. I'll get there. It's been a long morning. The heartbeat of the universe. It is that thing that identifies that we have a relationship with God. Here's the way King put it. He who loves is a participant in the being of God. But, and here's the transition, in order to have this, you can't have your same old stony, evil heart, angry, mad at everybody. Heart. It is important. It is important in today's message that we explore what the Bible says is perhaps one of the greatest and the most powerful promises in the Bible. And it is the promise of a new heart. King understood that. If the heartbeat of the moral universe is love, then we can only get there by changing our heart. He knew this. That's why everything he did was peaceful protest, not violently. Because he knew that if you would not change a person's heart, they would never change. And so the truth is this. There could never be any real or lasting changes in this world, in our lives, in our society, without a change of heart. You can put the same person in a different location and they bring the same issues. Can I preach? Some of you have tried that. Lord, if I can just find me another community, if I can just find me another partner, if I can just find me another job, if I can find me another church, I'm going to be better. But what you fail to realize is that you carry you wherever you go. Amen, somebody. And you carry that same stony heart with those issues no matter where you go. Listen to what King Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And I want you to hear this message this morning. My assignment from God this morning is not to make you shout, but I want you to listen. I want you to hear what God has to say. I want to challenge us this morning to see if God is speaking to us. Solomon writes these words. He says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart springs the issues of life." You are what your heart dictates you to be. You are who your spirit displays who you are. And when we speak of a new heart, somebody say a new heart. Speak of a new heart. We are speaking of a change, now listen to this, in our desires, change in our passions, change in our carnal affections. We are talking about an inward transformation from the inside out. Not a new outfit, not a new car. Some of you think, if I can just change the way I look, I'm going to be different. No, you won't be. Amen. Lipstick on a pig is still a pig. Amen, somebody. You've got to change who you are from the inside out. And that's why we have so many issues in our society. That's why we have so many issues in our relationships. That's why we have so many issues in whatever we are involved in, is because we take the same carnal affections, desires, and passions with us. And you can jump and shout all you want. They can put oil on your head every Sunday so much they can fry chicken on your head with so much oil. And some of you have had enough on your head to fry chicken. But you haven't changed. You've worn out bottles of oil. But you are the same carnal, manipulative, evil, seeking retribution, or the same person that you have. And you wonder, Lord, why am I no different? It is because your heart hasn't changed. Ooh, a new heart is becoming a more selfless person, a more responsive person, a more caring and compassionate person. Look at Psalms 51, Go upstairs with me for a moment. New King James Version. Psalms 51 was written by David. David was considered to have been the greatest worshiper in the Bible. In fact, there are theologians who would argue with you that David was perhaps one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Old Testament hero. He is right up there with Abraham and Moses, someone that only God said this of David, he is someone out of my own heart. But David had issues. David had uncontrolled carnal passions, desires, and affections. And as a result, although with all of his anointing, he still was an adulterer. With all of his anointing, still was a murderer. With all of his anointing, David still struggled with issues. And he had to come to the point that he realized that me getting promoted doesn't take away the issues I struggled with before I got promoted. See, some of you think when you get promoted, your issues vanish away. But you take them with you. David took his same issues with him to the palace. And so David understood this, and he writes this iconic Psalm 51. And he begins in verse 1, New King James Version, by saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." Then notice what he says in verse 3 and 4. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Verse number 4, David confesses. He said, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold," verse 5, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Look at verse number 6. "Behold, you desire truth." Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. "In my inward parts and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Woo. Hide your face far from my sins and blot out my iniquities." Thank God for verse number 10. Here it is. "Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me." So David understood, I may be king, but unless I change from the inside out, I'm gonna lose my salvation. I may be on the throne, but I've got to deal with these issues that have been haunting me. Create in me, Lord, I don't need a sharper sword. I don't need a mighty army. I need a heart transplant. I don't need you to make Bathsheba less fine. I need you to make me better. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Folks say, "I hope I don't run across Bathsheba." No, just pray that you've got enough Holy Ghost in you. When you do run across the Bathshebas, you can say, "Get behind me, Satan." You got, because there will always be Bathshebas. And there will always be, just for you women, there will always be others, men and women, that would tempt us. But we've got to stand firm to the Lord and say, "Lord, if you don't change them, change me." Because here's the truth. May I preach? Here's the truth. God is not going to always change your situation or your circumstances. God is not going to always remove you from the arena of temptation. But God is going to give you the strength that as you walk through the valley of trials and tribulation, you can say, "Be God before me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? And no weapon formed against me shall prosper." Somebody ought to just take 30 seconds to give God a praise for changing you. I've had to come to, I told the church this morning, and hey, I've come to realize that, and it's taken half of my adult life for me to get to the point where I stopped praying for God to change people. I stopped praying for God to change my enemies. And Deacon Simmons didn't call us. I wasted too much of my time hoping God will transform and change my enemies. And God had to done. God said, I may not ever change them because some of my enemies are still as nasty as what they have always been. But it doesn't bother me anymore because God has changed me from the inside out. And I know how to praise God in the presence. I will prepare a table before you in the presence of mine enemies. How many of you God has given you joy in the, don't y'all fool me now. Is there anybody God has given you peace, joy in the presence of your enemy? You work the same job you've always worked, but it doesn't bother you the way it used to bother you. You can go to work every morning singing and shouting because although they haven't changed, what you realize is God is still good. Can somebody give me a praise over the fact that God is still good all the time? And all the time, God is good. This is a good time. Thank you, brother musicians, for somebody to just clap your hands and give God a praise for being a good God. The song says, He brought me. He brought me from a mighty long ways. Somebody ought to be grateful you're not what you used to be. Somebody ought to be grateful you don't desire what you used to desire. Can God change you from the inside out? Throw those hands up and say, change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. From the inside. Ooh. Create in me a clean heart. Every morning you wake up, thank you, Lord. Every night you go to bed, thank you, Lord. Because if your enemy does not change, in fact, they don't need to change. Because God's gonna give you so much peace in the presence of so much turmoil that you're going to have so much joy for what God has already done and what God is doing right now. In fact, anybody know this joy I have? The world didn't give it to me, and the world cannot take it away. You better learn how to praise God when your situation doesn't change. If He doesn't heal your body, will you be able to declare, my grace is sufficient for you? Look at the text, if you will. In this incredible text, Ezekiel, the prophet, is used by God to speak a word of hope and encouragement to people. Now, God gave them an unexpected word because their situation dictated in their minds that they needed God to do something about their situation of bondage, their situation of oppression, and their situation of persecution. So they pray to God. You know Ezekiel. You know the prophet Ezekiel. We find that even in later on in the chapter 37, he talks about dry bones in the valley. God takes him to a valley full of dry bones. God asks Ezekiel what appears to be a very strange question. God asks, when God asks you something, he already knows the answer. And God asks Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, only you know that. And the Lord says, I need you to speak restoration to the bone. How were the bones restored with a word of God? He says, speak to the bones. And the bones came together from the inside. How many of you know all you need for restoration in your life is a word from the Lord? Is there somebody in here right now want to help me celebrate a word from the Lord? The Lord said, speak a word of hope. Speak a word of encouragement. But then God says to Ezekiel, here is my promise to you. God says, I'm going to do something for you that deliverance on the natural end cannot solve. I am going to give you a new heart. I'm going to replace your old carnal heart of stone. This new heart is something just more than a better situation. Can I preach? Because all some of you have been praying for since the first of the year is for God to change your situation or your circumstances. God said, this is more than a better attitude, a more friendly disposition. This is a profound inward change that God says, I am going to give you. Look at what the text says. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your old stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. There are three homiletical insights from this text that I want to share with you that are even somewhat different from our message last week dealing with a new life. This ties into the, because a new life is everything that's associated with your life. But this is an inward change that God's going to do. Three things. Number one is this. A new heart is a gift from God. Look at the text. The text says clearly, God says to Ezekiel, tell them that I will give you a new heart. If you expect anybody other than God to change you from the inside out, you are sadly mistaken. A new person in your life will not make you a new person. But if you're expecting anybody other than God to make you better than what you are now, you are sadly mistaken. I will give you a new heart. Our new heart is a gift from God. A gift from God that we must be willing to accept. Now, God doesn't force it on us. He expects us to accept his gift. I have it ready for you. All you have to do is accept. I gave an analogy this morning. If there's someone with a defective heart and the physician says you have to have a heart transplant and they've identified the greatest heart surgeon in the country and they're prepared to do the surgery, but there's one thing, you have to show up. Who am I preaching to? You have to show up. They don't go to your house to perform your surgery. Oh, preach, Pastor Jackson. You've got to make your way. I don't care how you get there. You've got to crawl, walk, roll. Somebody got to take you, but you've got to show up. Can I preach? God says, I've got a new heart waiting for you, but it is in the operating room, and I'm ready to do the surgery, but you've got to I am not going to call your house and beg you to accept what I have for you, because the last time I checked, every person who receives a heart, there are probably 100 more people on a waiting list wanting what you have just received. Preach, Pastor Jackson. God says, what I have for you, other folk need and want right now. But God's got a blessing with your name on it. Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to show up. Hear my Lord. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need you, Lord. Every hour, I need you. Anyone in here needs God to do something in your life? Make it personal. Look at your neighbor, say, this is personal. Make it. Anybody needs God to do something in your life from the inside out, get ready right now. God is about. Change me, oh Lord. Don't fool me now. But see, here's the other thing. You can't be in denial that you need a transplant. Amen, somebody. You can't be in denial. I had a good friend of mine who I've known all of our adult life. He used to be my barber and good friend. He was a chef and all of that. And I kept telling him, the doctor kept telling him, man, this is what you need. And he would, just because, you know, every barber know everything. You know, you go to the barber shop, they're an expert on everything. I know, I read this online, and I don't need this. That doctor don't know what he's talking about. He says, I need to get this. I need a kidney transplant. I don't need no kidney transplant. I just need to drink this, and I got some herbs. I've been reading online, and I've got this. I've been to Buford, and I saw some folk, and somebody gave me a little something to put in my tea, and I'm going to be all right. And he died. And I preach his funeral. And I could not help but think, Lord, I wish I was more persuasive to tell him somebody has recommended to you the solution. You have to accept what, who am I preaching to? Because God is speaking to somebody right now, and God says, you're never going to get better with your old defective heart. You need a heart transplant. I need to change you from the inside out, but you keep putting lipstick on the pig thinking you're going to get better. And God says, I need to change you from the inside. God has a gift with your name on it. And here's the second key thing. Unlike what we said on last week, remember last week in the new life, we says God said, you've got to get rid of your old self. This one is a little different. Elder Conway, this one is a little different. Here's what the Lord said. God says, I will take out your stony, stubborn heart because I want to make sure it's done right. I am going to replace. You cannot have a heart transplant on top of an old heart. The first part of the surgery of a heart transplant is to remove the old heart. You've got to take out the old heart in order to get a new. Some of you still want to dress up your mess up and think that God's going to put up with you. And God said, that's not how it works. If you want to be a different person, you've got to let me change you from the inside out. Our old heart must be removed. Reason you are still nasty because you still have the same spirit. And church attendance doesn't change your spirit. Transformation does. There's some folk at home watching virtue that are more holier than a whole lot of folk that show up every Sunday. Because coming to church doesn't make you better. Woo. Having a relationship with God changes your heart. God does not just temporarily change our old heart. He replaces it with a new heart. My old ways have it, Lord. Things I used to do, I don't want to do anymore. Change me, Lord, from the inside out. I don't want to be as nasty. I don't want to be as mad. I don't want to be as angry. I don't want to seek retribution every time somebody does something to me. Ooh. Lord, I want you to give me joy that even not only will I shout in the presence of my enemies, I praise God with my enemies. Sometimes you got to praise God holding the demon's hand. And just still praise God. Amen. Somebody know how to give God your best praise even in the worst situation because God has changed you. And it doesn't always look like it on the outside. Don't be deceived by outward appearance. Gave an analogy this morning. I am in our house the fruit shopper. My wife didn't even attempt to buy fruit. She said, you know what you like, you don't want. And I sometimes call myself the fruit expert, but I've been fooled. And my wife likes to point it out when I bring home red, shiny apples that look good on the outside until you bite it in the inside. May I preach? And sometimes yellow fern bananas look good on the outside until you peel back the peeling. Look at somebody and say, the rottenness is in the inside. Rarely does the rottenness show on the outside. So you can be fooled. Some of you have been fooled by some folk, and they look good. They shine and smell good, look good, dress good. You think they're all of that until you take them home. Until you take the person, the apple home. Until you take that man, the banana home. Can I give y'all a real example? One time my wife shamed me, so I brought some fruit that was so bad and it looked bad. I said, I'm taking this back. I'm headed right back to Whole Foods. I took back a bunch of bananas that looked good, and I said, I want to take these back because they're no good. And they said, how do you know all of them? No, I said, one of them no good. They said, when you took it out, it's on you. Once you leave here, it's on you. Amen, somebody. So don't you blame nobody for your jacked up, messed up relationship but you. You thought that red shining apple was good from the inside out. It looked good, but it didn't taste good. It looked good, but it wasn't good for you. But somebody ought to give God a hand of praise that I want something good from the inside out. And some of the most delicious fruit, Sister Thea, I've ever brought was a little bruise on the outside. Oh, but the inside was so delicious. Isn't that like some of us? Some of you throw away people that is not as shiny as other people. But don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by appearances. Just trust God that God can do it from the inside. From the inside out. Rottenness starts in the inside. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. Because here's the key. As I continue the analogy, nobody's gonna go to the store and buy bananas that's rotten on the outside. Amen. Unless you're in a big hurry. I don't care. And you're just grabbing it. Nobody's gonna buy a fruit that's visibly rotten. I'm preaching. I don't know why God told me to do this, but I'm blessing somebody. God says you've got to check it out and ask God to change from the inside out. Because when you've been changed from the inside out, something special about you. Number three, stand to your feet all over this place. A new heart means a change life. Here's the text, and I will give you a tender responsive. Key word of the Randolph Franklin in that text is a responsive heart. I will give you a change life. The ultimate sign of a new heart is a changed life. A change in your desires. A change in your affections. A change in your passions. Change me, Lord. Things that I used to desire. I don't even know when I stopped desiring it. I just know I don't want it anymore. Ooh. It's a wonderful text in the New Testament dealing with 10 lepers, and I'll preach this before the year's over. They were changed as they went. Some of you are being changed daily. You're going to be better tomorrow than you are today. Woo! You are better next week than what you were last week. Because God's changing you from the inside out. And here's the last point that I want to make as we prepare to conclude this message. Here's what God said. Let us be grateful that God in this new year is offering us something special. Look at your neighbor and say, something new. He's offering us a new heart, a total transformation from the inside out. Here's the challenge. And I told them, keep the lights dim on this one, because this is not about seeing people. In fact, if you can't see somebody, that's a good thing. Amen. Is there somebody bold enough this day that know you need God to do something in your life from the inside? I'm tired of getting angry over the same old things. I'm tired of allowing the same old people to push my button in and get me upset. Change me, oh Lord. Make me a over and new again. If you're here this morning, I need you to leave your seat right now without even thinking about it and no hesitation, and come stand at this altar with us right now, because God wants to do something special. I've obeyed what God said. Brother musicians, God said, don't let them push you this morning. You don't want them. I don't want to run this morning. Not this morning. Woo. Because God's doing something sacred right now. That's right. The truth of the matter is, we all struggle, don't we? We all find ourselves asking, Lord, why am I allowing the same thing to burden me over and over and over again? Somebody said, I should have been over that a long time ago. Ooh. The problem is, you've identified the problem, but you've not allowed God to solve the problem. And the Lord says, the only way I can solve this problem is that I am the heart surgeon. Listen to me, by the way. God says, I am the heart surgeon, and I want to perform a heart transplant on you. But you've got to show up to the hospital. Ooh. That's what this altar is. You've got to show up. Ooh. And say, Lord, I'm obedient to you. I'm willing to yield to you. Tamala Mann, right? Change me, oh God. Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Here it is. I need you to wash me through and through. Create in me a clean heart, so that I may worship. I may worship you. Maybe you're praying for somebody who's not here. Maybe you want to touch and agree on somebody and say, Lord, I want to intercede for someone I know who's struggling right now. They're struggling. They don't even know they need to come to the altar. They don't even know they should have showed up to church this morning. But the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Come on, Sister Janelle Mitchell and team, right now. Come on, right. Yeah.
Change me, oh God.
Thank you, Janelle. Yeah, yeah.
Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through. A clean
That is the only way I'm going to be better, Lord, so that I may worship.
Worship you.
One more time. Change me. Come on.
Change
Someone lift your hands.
Change me, oh God.
I'm talking to you, God, right now.
Make me more like you. Oh,
God's doing something right now. I can
sense God. And wash me through and through.
Lord, create it.
Create in me a clean heart. So that I may work.
One more time.
Worship you.
One more time. Change me. It's not right, Lord.
Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through and through. Create in me a clean. Change me.
Ooh, we all
that
need
only
that
you
right
can,
now,
Lord.
Lord.
Change me.
Not my situation, Lord. But change me.
Change
Lord.
Me.
Change me.
Only you can change.
Change me.
From the inside out.
Change me.
I need you to change me.
Come on. Sometimes you've got to declare it. Come on, let's have some church in here.
Me.
A wonderful
change.
I like that choir. I like that choir. Yeah.
Come on.
Close those eyes. I want to especially invite you back on Tuesday night. I'm going to finish this message on Tuesday night with what I call implications for 2026. But before I share a brief word on Tuesday night, we're going to share a testimony with you of one of our brothers right here in this congregation. Just not too long ago, had a massive heart attack. Massive heart attack. And according to all the experts, he really shouldn't be here. But God kept making ways out of no way. And he's going to be there to testify for about 10 minutes for us on Tuesday night to let you know that God is still in the miracle working business. Amen. That was his natural heart. But I thank God for saving us spiritually and emotional from the inside out. I'm so glad. Come on, team, before I cry. Everybody, come on and change. Listen, David understood this. And he said, Lord, the only way possible I am going to be better is that you've got to create in me a clean heart. Lord, I can't stop being who my flesh wants me to be unless I change from the inside out. Ooh. David became a transformed man. God wants to do that with some right now. And if you're ready for that kind of change in your life, we've got a QR code that we're putting on the board that we want to put up there. For those of you that are joining us virtually, maybe for some of you that are here, amen. I'm ready, Lord, for this kind of change. If you're here in this sanctuary right now and you say, Pastor, I don't mind standing up saying, I don't want to go back the way I came. Ooh. I don't want this year to be like last year. That God has to change me from the inside out. It begins with your relationship with God. And the first insight in this message was that God is offering us a gift of a new heart. But in that insight, we say we must be willing to accept it. So here's my question now. Are you willing? Are you willing to say, hear my Lord? Don't think you have time, young people. Don't think you have time. I can't tell you about so many young people's funerals I've had who thought they had time. The day you hear my voice, make that your day. Change me. Come on. I'm so glad. Ooh, I feel good. I'm so glad.
Change.
Something in my spirit told me God's doing something right now. I'm so glad. Come on, I feel it right now. Right now, nobody has to lay hands on you. No one has to anoint you. God's doing it in you right now. You can feel the change right now. God's doing it. Let us pray. If you're here today, and after God has done what he has done and spoken what he has spoken, if you're bold enough to stand out.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina. just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, at Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services, or if you just want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled Grateful for Something New, A New Heart, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 01-1826. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 01-1826. Sunday, February 1st, join us for consecration service and Holy Communion at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the Worship Center as we rededicate our lives to God and to ministry. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.